Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, the question is emerging markets. And is there an opportunity? What are the risks? Should it be part of a portfolio? You know, how are emerging markets evolving? There's so many questions about those economies that, you know, that we don't necessarily think of as like the United States or, you know, Western Europe or Canada, but are growing, that have amazing potential. What do we need to know about
that? Yeah, it's a fear out there, not only from investors about an area they don't all fully understand, but even people who are giving advice don't know really about what's happening in that part of the world and why it is an opportunity. I'm smiling because as a growth guy on our team, I look for areas of opportunity. I think this is a huge opportunity. And so let's bring on members that we work closely with when it comes to our portfolio. We've got Kim West, Senior Client Portfolio Manager at Invesco. Let's talk about emerging markets, Kim. This is going to be the fun part. Let's talk about the composition of emerging markets, and things have changed over the years of what emerging markets is. Give us a bit of an insight of what your thoughts are with that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, if you look at pre-2008, emerging markets were really the supplier of, you know, of resources and stuff. So, I mean, most of the growth in the world came from developed markets. And emerging markets, they were the ones that supplied us with raw materials, with labor, with cheap manufacturing, right? I think what's happened is, you know, you've had growing wealth, growing middle class in these emerging market economies. In fact, if you look at a place like China, the middle class in 2000 only accounted for about 3%. Today, the middle class is about 50%. And you spread that over a huge population. And what you have is, you know, really an economic powerhouse. You've got a country that is really going to drive consumption and has insulated itself from some of the trade that's going on in the rest of the world. And so, you know, I think, again, you've really had this evolution from a supplier and the developed markets really being the leaders of growth to today. I believe the emerging markets, places like China and India, are going to drive the growth in the world. And you can see it. They're growing as a percent of global GDP while developed markets are declining. And so I think you have to think about these markets very differently than when they were just really a supplier.
Now, Kim, when we think about investing in a region, let's pick China as an example. Most investors will think about a company that's just dealing in China. And what I try to tell my clients is that when you buy an American company, let's name one, Apple, it's not American in what they do, it's global. And a lot of these emerging market corporations are global. They're just headquartered in those areas. So let's look at China, start off there, the impact of China. I think we call emerging markets, and then we always say, oh, it's just China. It's not, it's bigger than that. Give us a bit more insight about where China comes into play on the overall emerging markets front. And are these companies that we are investing in right now in the fund more on the global side, or is it really domestic focus?
So you're right. The world has gone global. And so it's, you know, one of the important things that we do when we look at companies is we don't focus on where they're domiciled. We focus on where they're generating their revenues, because that's where a company is really achieving risk, right? And so we have a pretty detailed sheet that we look at on a regular basis. And when we're looking at a company, we'll put it into that model and it'll take apart where its revenues are. So you're completely right. In a global world today, you really can't look at where a company is domiciled. Now, for us, when you bring up China, again, going on what I just described before, which is you've got a company that is now the size of the US in terms of consumption, right? And gonna grow faster and probably higher quality, given the huge population and the growing middle class. So, you know, frankly, most of the companies that we own in China are driven by domestic consumption. They're actually not global businesses. We tend to think that when we look at the opportunity set, there is a huge opportunity, again, for domestic consumption within China. So in China, when I look at the companies we own, they are mostly domestically biased.
So let's talk about passive versus active management. Now, we've had a combination of the two at points in time in the portfolio. We have been passively investing in emerging markets. We are now more actively investing in the from a management style in the markets. We've had conversations with Invesco for a long time now about the active management. What is different in the approach from an active management style versus the index that investors should know about when it comes to the emerging market fund that we have here?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you look at the last decade, a lot of people will say, well, emerging markets haven't really kept up with developed markets. And yet, if you take it apart, you know, places like Taiwan and China and India have actually been, you know, reasonably strong. It's really been Latin America and Eastern Europe that have been, you know, that have been pretty weak over the last decade. So first of all, I think you want the flexibility to invest where you're finding the best opportunities, not be sort of forced to follow a benchmark that, you know, that puts you weighted in. We don't want to own countries if we can't find attractive opportunities there. Second of all, you've got plenty of old economy stocks that I think were quite attractive a long time ago, but I think they're less attractive today. We're finding much more in consumer discretionary today based on what I just described, which is, you know, a huge trend in consumption and a growing middle class. I think you've had a snapback recently to these cyclicals as people start to, you know, start to look to the recovery. But actually, when we look at a lot of these cyclical businesses, what we find is that these are 1% to 3% growers that are trading at multiples in line with higher growth businesses. So we think they're already pricing in a recovery from COVID. And I think some people think, well, there'll be infrastructure spending and, you know, with inflation coming because there's shortages everywhere. There's, you know, they think this growth is just going to continue. It's our view that a lot of these shortages are short term in nature and driven by some of the slowdowns in COVID. But we think over the next year or two, those, you know, capacity ramp ups by companies are going to catch back up.
What areas or sectors do you see in the emerging market area that's the place to be, where you're spending all of your time and you're allocating some of the portfolio, if not most of the portfolio, towards?
So we run a very flexible approach. We tend to be, again, benchmark agnostic. We want to go wherever we're finding the best opportunities. As I mentioned before, we're quite overweight the consumer discretionary, because that's where we're finding, again, there's a lot of growth over the next decade. We tend to like platform businesses a lot. So again, we're not top down, we're bottom up. But what we love about platform businesses, so examples of platform businesses would be Alibaba, Tencent, you know, if you're familiar with Autohome, Key Holdings. So basically, the interesting thing with platforms is they tend to be winner takes all or winner takes most, right? They tend to have really high incremental margins. They tend to have really good pricing power. So we like these models, and we actually own quite a few platforms across our portfolio.
Kim, what's the case today to own emerging markets in a portfolio?
Yeah, I think a couple things. First of all, as I just explained in the beginning, you know, look, emerging markets are going to be the driver of growth in the global economy. And I think that for most people, they are underweight emerging markets relative to its growing importance in the global economy. And so I think when you look at a place like China, for example, which has now got domestic consumption the same size as the US, it's kind of hard to ignore a country like that. And I think for a lot of folks in Canada, they may feel that they're getting some exposure through their global portfolios. But what I find is these global portfolios are still very US heavy with just a touch of emerging markets. So again, I think when you look at where the growth in the world is coming and that evolution I described before, which is this is where the growth will be over the next 5 to 10 years, driven by, again, this incredible growing population, growing middle class, I can't imagine that people really have the allocation. Again, we talk to clients all around the globe because we have vehicles in Europe, Asia, the US, and Canada. And most people we talk to will acknowledge that they're completely underweight emerging markets relative to its growing importance.
We've got about 30 seconds left before we have to
go,
Kim.
Yes.
Geopolitical issues, China versus US, and all the other issues that come up when it comes to emerging markets. What are the concerns that you have about geopolitical risk in the emerging market world? And what are the ideas that help mitigate those types of risk as you move forward?
Sure. So I think recently we've had a mass, you know, China had performed very well and it's kind of fallen off a cliff. I think people are concerned. For a while, everyone was assuming that the dollar would be weak. I think people are concerned about a potential stronger dollar because of the inflation we're starting to see and how that's going to affect monetary policy. Again, it's our view that this is more short term in nature, not long term. So we are actually not in that camp. But I think that's where there's a lot of concern. The other thing that I think has people concerned are the regulations coming out of some of these countries. We've seen a lot recently out of China. I think one of the ways that we certainly benefit is having boots on the ground, which goes back to the question you asked before. I think a real benefit of being active is you can have boots on the ground and really, you know, this is still a fairly inefficient market and find those great opportunities.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, in 10 minutes, I think you've done justice to a very, very large topic, but at least raised awareness and some education about how those emerging markets have evolved and changed and their relative importance in the global marketplace now. Thanks, Kim.
Yeah, we were joined by Kim West, Senior Client Portfolio Manager at Invesco, and she was talking about, you know, having that approach to looking for opportunities that we got to think a little bit further in advance, to plan in advance. And that's exactly how you build a five-pillar investment strategy when it comes to your retirement portfolio.
Yep.
And we're going to discuss that on Tuesday, June 15th, 7 p.m., live online. Now, you need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, join us after the break to bring it all home here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.
The views and opinions expressed today are those of the speakers, and they're based on the market conditions and are subject to change without notice. These opinions may differ from those of other Invesco investment professionals. There's no guarantee that these views will come to pass.
Any statement that necessarily depends on future events may be forward-looking. Forward-looking statements are not guaranteed of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. Although such statements are based on assumptions that are believed to be reasonable, there can be no assurance that actual results will not differ materially from expectations. Investors are cautioned not to rely unduly on any forward-looking statements. The connection with any forward-looking statements, investors should carefully consider the areas of risk described in the most recent simplified prospectus.
The information and opinions expressed do not constitute investment advice or recommendations or an offer to buy or sell any investment security.
Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses may all be associated with mutual fund investments. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Please read the simplified prospectus before investing. Copies are available from your advisor or from Invesco Canada Limited.